your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, look if you would at verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the beautiful day you've given us. Lord, for the freedoms that we have to come to church, Lord, and that we're able to walk in church with the Bibles underneath our arm without having to face persecution. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Many countries today don't have the same privileges that we have. But Lord, help us to understand that because we have these privileges, because we're able to go tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ without having to worry about persecution, Lord, help us to understand that we are going to be held responsible, Lord, for what we did with those freedoms and privileges, Lord, that we have. So, Lord, help us to be constantly going out there and doing what you would have us do. And, Lord, tonight, as we're here, I just pray that just for a few moments, Lord, that we will look at what the Word of God has to say and consider the words, Lord, and help us, Lord, as we look at these scriptures tonight to grow. And help us, Lord, to be able to handle life a bit easier, Lord, with the helps that you've given us. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless the message tonight and speak to our hearts with it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to preach tonight on letting patience work. And I'll have to admit to you tonight, of all the people that I know who could possibly be preaching this message, I'm probably the least qualified because I have a big problem with patience. You know, one of the things in life that I struggle with more than anything else. And I can't imagine anybody needing to hear this message tonight more than myself. I'm not one of those people who enjoys waiting around. I was in the military for 20 years, and anybody who's been in the military knows in the military it's hurry up and wait. That's what it is, and that didn't help, okay? It did not help my patience. So I certainly need work in the area of having patience, and I think that's true with all of us. I'm reminded of the story of the young child who couldn't put his boots on. So he goes to the teacher and he asks her for help to put his boots on. So the teacher takes the boots and pushes and twists and finally, after much struggle, gets the boots on the little boy. The boy looks at the teacher and says, "Teacher, you put the boots on the wrong feet." So she sighs and she pulls his boots off and swaps them. She pushes and twists and finally she gets the boots back on the little boy correctly this time. But then he looks at the teacher and says, "Teacher, those aren't my boots. These are my brother's boots." So she blows and pulls the boots off the little boy. And when she finally got the boots off, she asked the little boy, "Where are your boots so I can put them on for you?" The little boy said, "I left my boots in my daddy's truck. So my mother told me to wear my brother's boots." The teacher starts turning red. And so she takes the boots and again twists them and pushes. And finally she gets the boots back on the little boy's feet. She then said, "It's pretty cold outside. Did you bring any mittens to keep your hands warm?" The boy said, "Yes." The teacher said, "Where are your mittens?" The boy said, "I stuffed them inside the toes of my boots." You know, I think, have you ever gotten to the point where you felt like your patience has just ran out? I think a lot of us struggle in the area of patience. You know, in the words, patience or patiently is found in the scriptures a total of 50 times. And of those 50 times, 7 times the word or variation of the word is found in the book of James. And James chapter 1 verse 4 here says, "Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And how many of you know that 7 is the number of perfection? And it's no coincidence that you find the word patience or patient 7 times in the book of James. And so tonight I want to look at the patience that James talks about. And you know, and as I was reading some of the scriptures that had to do with patience in the Bible and I was preparing this message, I was actually thinking about reading a bunch of those scriptures throughout the Bible that has the word patience in it. But the truth of the matter is there's too many of them and it's way too convicting. But God has much to say about patience. And really, of all the attributes that God has, I think that his patience and long-suffering is certainly the one I'm most thankful for. Where would any of us be tonight if it wasn't for the patience of the Lord with us? How patient he was with us before we got saved, how patient he was, or how patient he is with us now that we are saved, and the way we act sometimes. Patience is a very valuable thing to have. Patience is so valuable that if you don't learn patience, you probably won't learn much of anything else. Now, what is this patience that the Bible speaks of? Well, when we use the word patience, we kind of think it has to do with tedious things, but actually the Bible word for patience has more to do with enduring things. In fact, patience is defined as manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty, steadfast, despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. That is what patience is. It's enduring. It's waiting upon the Lord. It's trusting the Lord with the situation while we just patiently wait for him to take care of it. That's what patience is when it comes to the Bible. And we struggle with patience when it comes to dealing with other people. We struggle with patience when it comes to our jobs. We struggle with patience anytime that we go through hardships. We even struggle with patience when it comes to the petty things in life. We get irritated if we have to stand in line more than 10 minutes. That's how we are. We can't, you know, if we pull up to a red light and we know that you turn right on red, but the guy in front of you either doesn't know that or chooses not to. We get impatient with that. Those are petty things. We get impatient when the microwave takes too long. We get impatient when we go to get on the internet and it got that little thing going around. And we have to wait. And we're like, come on. We don't have much patience. I heard one person say, before you marry a person, you should make sure that that person uses a computer with a slow internet first so you can see what kind of person you're marrying. Maybe that's true. Now, I want to look at the seven times in the book of James that the word patience is found so that we can learn more about patience. In these seven times that James mentions the word patience or patient in the book of James, he teaches us something about patience each time it's used. So I want to begin by looking at the first time the word patience is mentioned in the book of James, and that is right here in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." In this verse, we're told where patience comes from. How do we get patience? Where does patience come from? Well, patience, according to verse 3 here, comes from difficulties. It's a product of testing and trials. Now, we know that trials are no fun. We know that trials cause discomfort. We don't like trials. In fact, most of the time, we just want the trials to be taken away. We want them removed. But without tribulations in our life, without our faith being tested, we will never increase in patience. Never. "Count it all joy," he says, "when ye fall into diverse temptations. The trying of your faith worketh patience." You cannot increase your patience if everything is going good. When things are always going good, we tend to get spoiled. But when things go bad, that's where patience comes from. Okay? But when things are going good, our patience will not increase. You say, I don't want to go through the trying of my faith. I don't want to go through tough times in life. Then you're never going to have patience. The way the Bible talks about, the patience that the Bible talks about, you're never going to have that if your faith is not tried at some point. We are not born with patience. Patience comes with difficulty. Patience comes from the trying of our faith. So the first time we see the word patience in the book of James, it's in verse 3, and it speaks of where patience comes from. But then the second time that we see the word patience mentioned in the book of James is in verses 3 and 4. And in those verses, we see the process of us acquiring patience. Now, I hate to tell you this, but patience is not something that you're just going to get overnight. Patience takes time. It takes time. It's a process. And you're not going to get patience in one day. You're not going to become the master of patience after one trial or after one little surge of affliction. That's not how it works. It's an accumulation of sufferings and persecutions and the trying of your faith. It's all a process. You say, well, where in the world do you get this from, Pastor? Well, in James chapter 1, look at verse 3 again. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It worketh patience. In other words, the more your faith is tried, the more patience you're going to have. And if your faith is tried a little bit, it isn't all of a sudden you say, okay, I've got all the patience I'm ever going to have. No, it's a work. It works it. It continues to work it. It doesn't say, knowing this, that from the trying of your faith produces instant patience. No, it worketh patience. It means it's working on it. It's a process. It's going to take a while. Look at verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, I don't care if you're mowing a lawn or if you're washing your car or you're baking cookies. You can't do a perfect work in 2 seconds. It's going to take time to do those things. It takes some work over time. And God is wanting to have patience in our life, but it is a process. And it's going to take time. Really, if you think about it, you got to be patient to get patience. That's weird, isn't it? But that's what you have to do. Now turn over to Romans chapter 5. Hold your place here and turn over to Romans chapter 5. Because Romans chapter 5 kind of talks about the same thing. Paul talks about the same thing. Patience is a very valuable thing to have. But it isn't going to come overnight. And we all want more patience. I think we all struggle with more patience. But it is a work. It's a work in progress. And I will say this, even though I am probably the most impatient person that I know of, easily, I can honestly say that I am more patient now than I used to be. Okay? Well, it's a work. It's a work in progress. Now, in Romans chapter 5, look if you would at verse 1. It says, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now watch. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That sounds like what James said. But we glory in tribulations also. Now I'm not really sure who this we is he's talking about right there. We glory in tribulations? I don't generally glory in tribulations. Do you? I mean, I'm not one of those people, and all of a sudden I go out there and I go to start my truck, and well, you know, like this past cold spell, you know, when everybody's trucks was messing up, Brother John's truck messed up, other people's vehicle messed up, and I thought I was immune from all that. And all of a sudden, my son pulls up and he goes, Dad, the truck is just leaking coolant everywhere. Well, I thought it had a small leak, so I thought, well, I'll go out there and pour some more coolant in it, and we'll take it over and get it checked out. So I grab the coolant, I open up the radiator, I start pouring in there, and as I'm pouring, I hear like a river flowing. And I poured some more, man. And I look, and as fast as I'm pouring it in, it's just going right on the ground. Well, at the time, I didn't know what it was. It turned out that the heater, the block heater had basically fallen out and it was hanging there by the cord. And so that coolant was going right on the ground. I'll tell you this, when I heard that coolant hitting the ground, At that moment, you're talking about a trying of faith. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I was not glorying in that tribulation. I was not. Okay? But Paul says here that we should. And we should glory in tribulations. We should. Because the Bible continues to say here, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. You know, after a while, you start to figure out that stomping your feet and pitching a fit and gritting your teeth doesn't help anything. Except, you know, it raises your blood pressure or makes people around you nervous. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You ever wonder why some Christians feel that there's no hope when they go through trials? It's because they don't have experience. And because they have no patience. But if a believer has patience, he just trusts God and patiently waits upon the Lord. The Lord will get him through that trial of faith, and the Lord will answer his prayers, and then that believer will have the experience of knowing that God has gotten him through the tough times in the past. Therefore, he's going to have hope that God's going to do it again. That's how it works. That God will again get him through the trial that he's going through this time. If he'll just patiently wait on the Lord. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. But then notice Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Have you ever looked back on a situation that you went through in the past and was embarrassed the way you acted when you went through that trial of your faith? You think back and say, boy, if I had just trusted the Lord on that thing, if I had just not acted the way I did, if I hadn't worried so much during that time, sometimes we become ashamed of ourselves for not trusting God in the situation. Paul said in Romans 5:3-4, he says, and not so, but we glory in tribulations also, and knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And you'll notice that James told you the same thing back in James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Falling into diverse temptations is having your faith tried. And he said in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience. So the first time that we see patience used in the book of James, it's in verse 3, and it speaks of where patience comes from. Second time we see the word patience mentioned in the book of James is verses 3 and 4. It talks about the process of us acquiring patience. And then the next time that we see the word patience or patient used in James is in James chapter 5. So flip over to James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, we see that this time when he mentions the word patient or patience, he's telling us how long we are to be patient. How long are we to be patient? Well, look at verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. It says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. How long are we to be patient? We're supposed to be patient until the Lord comes back. We're to be patient. We're to let the trial of our faith worketh patience until the Lord comes back. Now, when you read these two verses, it's almost like the Lord is saying, endure, remain steadfast, because I'm on my way. That seems like he's telling you. In fact, notice, before we've talked about how important it is when you're reading your Bible and you notice that something is mentioned more than once. Sometimes you'll see something mentioned two times in a row. I think about over in the book of John where it says that no man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. He says that twice. No man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. Probably wants you to know that nobody's able to pluck you out of his Father's hand. Amen? Listen, the Lord wants every Christian to know that you can't lose your salvation. It's very important to the Lord that we know that. That's when he keeps on telling you over and over and over and over. And he tells you twice, no man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hands. People say, well, yeah, but I can jump from there. Well, guess what? Sorry, you can't. Because you're a man too. And you can't get out of there. Okay? And so he tells you that twice. You go over to Mark chapter 9. He talks about hell, and he says where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. He says it three straight times. You know what he's trying to tell you? That there's fire in hell. And people are going to burn when they go there. I've always been amazed at preachers who would preach that there's no torment or fire in hell. And they preach that it's only separation from God. Well, according to the Bible, it's not separation from God, because even God is even present there. But there is fire in hell, and he tells you that three times. Listen, when he tells you something more than once, you need to understand that, and you need to take note of it, because it's God trying to drive a point through to you. And he's telling you there in Mark chapter 9 that there is fire in hell. I think about another one. Over in the book of Galatians, it says, if any man bring any other gospel than that which is preached by us, let him be accursed. And I say again, and he says the same thing again, except he throws an angel in there as well. You know what he's trying to tell you? That people that preach a different gospel are cursed. That's not me saying that. That's God saying that. And he said it twice. We need to pay attention when God says something more than once. And notice right here in James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, he says this. In verse 7, he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. In verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's telling you this twice. He's saying, be patient. He said that twice. Be patient. And then he tells you twice, I'm on my way. I'm coming back. Just endure. Endure the hardship. Be patient. Trust me. It's like the Lord saying, I'm on my way. You say, Pastor, I just don't think I could be patient for that long. Waiting for the Lord to come back? Well, let me point something out to you. James wrote this 2,000 years ago. Amen? He wrote this 2,000 years ago. And he said, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He said that 2,000 years ago. How much closer are we today to the Lord's return than James was 2,000 years ago? We're much closer. 2,000 years closer. Now, I'm no genius, but I'm guessing that the coming Lord is closer now than it was when James wrote James 5:8. And if he could be patient, then we could certainly be patient. He could come at any minute. And personally, I'm looking for him at any moment. And it won't be long. It won't be long. So the question that I have for you tonight is, can you hang in there for just a little longer? Can you just be patient for a little longer? We're to be patient until the Lord comes. And then the last time that we see the word patience in the book of James is in James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And there we're given examples of those who were patient in the past. In James chapter 5, look if you would at verse 10. It says, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now I want you to think about all the people throughout history in your Bible that spoke, and when they prophesied about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They prophesied about God and the importance of doing what God wanted them to do and being obedient. And because they did this, because they preached the Lord, they were persecuted. They went through tough times. Listen, folks, if you don't believe those prophets went through some tough times, you need to read the Old Testament. Read what Jeremiah went through because he preached the truth. Read what the other prophets went through because they preached the truth. Read about Moses and David. Remember Daniel? Daniel, because Daniel spoke the truth, because he preached the truth, he was thrown in the lion's den. You talk about patience? Can you imagine? Listen, you don't read about Daniel clawing at the inside of the thing the second he's thrown out of those lions. No, you know what? He just sat there. He waited on the Lord. And the Lord protected Daniel all night long. And so when the king comes back the next morning and he says, Oh, Daniel. Daniel's like, I'm down here. I'm good. He wasn't down there clawing trying to get out. He had patience. And we read about this. You think about Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. They all had patience. Now, there are more than that. We don't have time to list them all. But how many of them went through things and faced things far, far worse than any of us could ever face? And they were patient. They didn't have the completed scriptures like we do. They didn't have the comforting words of the Bible to encourage them. They didn't have the book of Revelation to tell them how it all ends, like you and I do. And yet, they were patient. Look at verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Now, Job arguably went through more than any other prophet in the entire Bible. And yet, the Bible says here that he had patience. And Job didn't have any of the scriptures. I mean, have you ever think about that? The first five books of the Bible weren't written when the book of Job was written. When Job went through the things he went through, none of the books of the Bible were there. He had no scriptures at all. And he went through losing his family, losing everything he had. He's sitting there with ashes upon him and boils all over him. I mean, I can't even imagine how bad it was. I'm pretty sure nobody in this room has ever had it as bad as Job. But there he was. You know, and when we go through things, we have the Holy Spirit of God within us as the comforter. We have the scriptures that we can read and draw comfort because God is the God of all comfort. How many of you, when you go through things, just sometimes just sit down and say, I just want to be along with the Lord. I'm hurting right now. I'm going through this tough time, and I want to see what the Lord has to say about it. So open your Bible, and you start to read, and all of a sudden you just feel that comfort take over. Job didn't have that. We do. But yet it says, ye have heard of the patience of Job. You know, when he didn't have everything we had, and he went through far worse than we could ever go through, the Bible says he had patience. My question for you is, why are we having such a hard time having patience then? Why, how could we say, well, you know, I could just never have patience? We haven't went through anything like the prophets went through. We haven't went through anything like Job went through. And if they had patience, we should be able to get patience pretty easily. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Though our faith be tried, we can be patient because we know the Lord is there with us. We know that he'll never leave us. We know that the Lord have pity on us. We know that the Lord is merciful. We know that how this whole thing is going to end. We know that where we're going to be when this whole thing is over with. And listen, it doesn't matter what we go through. Yes, the faith temptations try our faith, and that produces patience. But when you're going through that trial of faith, just hang in there, because I'm going to tell you, folks, this is the worst it's ever going to get on this side of eternity. We all have so much hope to look forward to. I wonder sometimes if that's what got Job through it all, knowing the end of the Lord. You know what Job said? He goes, my Redeemer liveth. You know what Job knew? Job knew that there was a God that loved him. And even though he was going through all these things, he knew that God was right there, and that God had pity on him, and God loved him. We know more than Job did. We know that one of these days, we know that we're all just a heartbeat away from heaven. We know that. And sometimes when we go through these problems, we think things are so bad, and I'm not saying that they aren't, but what I am saying is this: we have so much going for us that, honestly, the worst it could get is we die. And we're going to be in heaven. And let me tell you something, folks. The thing that I think about more than anything else is the difference. If you think about the difference between life on this side of eternity and just 1 second after death, can you imagine the difference there? Now, we look at it, and of course, I understand, you know, that the body struggles to survive and instinct of survival. I understand all that. But if you actually think about the difference, why in the world would we worry about anything? Because 1 second after you die, your troubles are over. Over. You are not going to have any more problems. You're not going to have any more trying of your faith. You're not going to have any more sickness. You're not going to have any more sadness. That's how close all of us are. And it's because we're saved. Now, if you're not saved here today, I'm just going to tell you that that's not your future, because 1 second after you die, if you're not saved in here tonight, you will open your eyes in hell. That's according to Luke chapter 16. And there you'll burn for all eternity. But for Christians, just 1 second, less than a second after you pass from this life, your troubles are over. That's a promise that you have because you have the scriptures that told you that. So how easy is it really to have patience? You know, when we were saved, we trusted the Lord with our soul. Basically what we said is, Lord, you died on the cross for me, for my sins, you were buried and rose again the third day, and I'm going to trust you to get me to heaven. And so we trust the Lord with our soul. Amen? But yet, anything that comes up, we don't trust him. If all of a sudden we get bad news from the doctor, we think, oh, it's horrible. And yes, I understand it is. But we should be able to have patience through that. Why? Because at the end of patience is hope. We have hope because we know what? Even if the worst news in the world comes from the doctor tomorrow on any of us, we know what the end is. And that's hope. We know where we're going to be in the end. So my question to you is this: why are we having such a hard time with patience? Why is it that we can't just have our patience grow? And just like the Bible says, when we have a trial of faith, And then all of a sudden we have that produces patience. And then that patience, it produces experience. And we start to say, hey, wait a second, I waited on the Lord last time. I think I'll wait on the Lord this time too. Because after all, he helped me out last time. He'll help me out this time. That's experience. And then that experience has hope. That's the way we're supposed to be on everything. But we have such a hard time when it comes to patience. Let patience have her perfect work in you. Wait on the Lord, the Bible says. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That is having patience. Are you struggling with patience tonight? I know I am. I know I struggle with it every day. I mean, I'm one of those people that the second anything goes wrong, I'm thinking, great. What else? What else could possibly happen? But you know, sometimes I just need to stop and say, wait a second. This is gonna give me patience. And then the patience is gonna give me experience. And experience is gonna give me hope. You know, it's really not that big a deal that my heater core fell out of my truck. At the end of the day, that truck's nothing more than a bucket of bolts. Amen? And it will give up the ghost one day. And you know what'll happen? I'll go buy another bucket of bolts. It's really, I mean, if you think about it, on the grand scheme of things, compared to all the problems that the prophets had, Bob Crowder's worried about his truck and his block heater. How ridiculous is that? I think we've all had a problem in those areas. We need to let patience do its perfect work in our lives. Let's stand.